morning, church. Happy Father's Day. When Brother Ambrose asked me about my schedule, and I think it was three dates open left, and I asked him, I said, if they're all within my time before we go to camp, I would definitely take that challenge. He didn't tell me about Father's Day now. He didn't say that was one of the days, but he finally did in the second text. But you know, as a father, it's a little different when you're speaking about fathers. And the last four times I've spoke here, I spoke on obedience. And I think I'm going to keep that theme going for the next three times that I speak. Obedience. Fathers. All right, so what has happened in my life since I started speaking on obedience? All right. My son tears his Achilles. My wife gets in an accident. My dad passes away. I have one of the kids on my football team that plays my position have to have surgery for chemo. Not chemo, I'm sorry. Leukemia, I'm sorry. Leukemia. I mean, so all this stuff has just hit me in the head, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I should have spoke on obedience. But, however, if that makes sense, the greatest example that you could give God is to be godly. The greatest example a father can give is being godly. A father cannot lead if he's not godly. A father has to be submissive to authority. The father has to be led by the Holy Spirit. A father has to understand that he's praying to His father. A father has to study the word of God. A father has to seek wisdom. And seek wisdom all the time. Y'all know I don't do well with this, but the culture of a father. I like the word culture because everybody interprets culture a different way. My two big things for culture is, one, you write it down. Any person or any organization or anybody dealing with the word culture is going to write their stuff down. Culture is just habits that you do over and over and over again. Think about your great daddies. Your great daddies do things over and over and over and over and over and over again. When you talk about fathers, I cannot think about my grandfather. I cannot think about my, this man had a fifth grade education, could read the Bible backwards, could break down the Greek word of the translation, just you couldn't even, fifth grade education. He didn't give my father the option not to be godly.
There wasn't an option.
My grandfather tried to follow God. He didn't give my dad an option. So, he didn't give my dad an option. Guess who didn't have an option? I didn't have an option. And you know, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm going to tell you why. Because I didn't have to guess. I didn't have to, do I do this? Do I do that? No, you're going to do this right here. Amen, church. So my grandfather didn't give my dad an option. My dad didn't give me an option. And guess who I didn't give an option? Amen. And see, and that's where the culture of a father started back with a guy with a fifth grade education. Cedar Bluff, Alabama. Population maybe 20, maybe. Maybe 20. But because he understood the plan of salvation, it allowed my dad to build off the culture, for me to build off the culture, and for my sons to build off the culture. This is the first time since 2014. They don't even know this. Since 2014, this is the first time that I've spent Father Days with my sons. Amen. I met their schedule, my schedule. This is the first time. Y'all didn't know that, did y'all? Church, we are at war. And what do you mean we're at war? John 10:10 is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. The thief come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I come, you have life and have it more abundant. Why are we at war, church? We're at war because between 1970 and 22, there has been of single parent housing living with their mothers, 7.8% to 16.7% increase in white youth, 29.5% to 45.6% in black youth. Single mother living. What are we doing, world? What are we doing? Those numbers are crazy to me. I don't know. Y'all looking at me like I'm, I don't know if we're on the same page or not, but those are some drastic numbers. How can I teach the culture of a father? How can we as a church stand for those numbers? But we're going to talk about racism. We're going to talk about all the wars that we're supposed to have. We're going to talk about poverty. We're going to talk about just any type of issues that we have. And I bet if we start out with dealing with that, that will probably take care of 90% of it. So how do we take care of a father's culture? This is extra credit. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. If we don't know how to marry, it starts there. Amen, church. See, because we don't understand, it's God's will. It's not our will. If we're supposed to mirror God, and God has wrote it down, God's culture is written down. And if we, as a church, are teaching young men, it starts with marriage. Amen, JJ. It starts with marriage. If I don't know how to marry right, blacks, 46%. 46%. percent. Now, I'm not a wizard, but that's almost half, right? It's close to being half, right? But we don't know we're at war. We're in a spiritual war with this. Mother's Day. President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed it, 1914. They had a Father's Day that started in 1910, but it wasn't proclaimed. 66 decades later, Father's Day by Lyndon Johnson was proclaimed to be a holiday. 6 decades later. What are we doing, church? 6 decades later. The leader of the family wasn't celebrated to 6 decades later. And we don't think the devil's busy. We don't think the devil's doing his job. We don't think that the devil is a reliable target to God, for God. What are we doing? 6 decades later. So right now, we're in the recruiting world right now. Tulane won some games, and, you know, we can kind of get a little bit more better guys than we've been getting. So they came and asked me yesterday, how do you keep on getting these guys? How do you keep on getting these guys? How do you keep on getting these guys? Bible principles. This is the running back coach. Okay? He can't tell a kid how good he is because that's going to be cocky and arrogant. But Coach JJ can. Coach JJ can build this guy up to be who he is. Why aren't we building our fathers up in America to be who they're supposed to be? Why aren't we in the church building up our fathers to be who they're supposed to be? Why aren't we not educating? Again, the last time I talked about obedience, I talked about situational Christian. And when you're in situations that you know that's it's going to happen, why aren't we studying those things? Why aren't we teaching those things? We know one day that my sons will be a father. One day. And if they don't get taught, that's on me in the church. Amen. I don't have to guess if they're going to be a father. What do we do? A father builds his culture by understanding the character of God. By understanding it's God's will. I'm going to talk about 6 essential principles that I think are there for a father to build his culture. Accepting your kids. You can read the scripture, Romans 8, 14, and 16. I'm going to kind of move forward because my wife don't have me on the clock anymore. She said, I don't listen. So I'm not comprehending. When she stand up, I keep on going. So I'm on my own. I'm in the water right now, and there's sharks out here. So if you guys can read it, and I'm just going to go ahead and talk about accepting your kids. So, last Sunday at church, Peyton does a great job of praying. I mean, his demeanor for a kid that age. You can tell that he's articulate and he does everything that you would want a kid his age to do that's going to get in front of the church and pray. Amen. As he comes down the stage, and he's a very humble young man, no small, not going to really let you know how he feels. He's just going to just go sit down. And his dad just taps him on the chest and smiles, giving him confirmation that he did a great job. And that little tap on the chest and that little smile will allow him to go on and trust his dad even further and further and further as he goes in his high school days. That one little thing. And that's the difference in being a dad with culture, is those little things. We always talk about in sports, it's the little things. The hardest thing ever for a coach is when you tell a kid something and you know it's going to happen, and guess what? It happens. And what's even worse is when it's on ESPN, on national TV, and they sitting there looking at you and you like this. But you also, in those times, have to show him or that player that you love them. And you have to embrace them and use that situation to teach. How can I go off on him and I'm with sin? I'm not perfect. Everything I do, sometimes I'm wrong. But it's my job in those situations, good or bad, to teach. So I have to accept my kids for who they are. But it's also my job as their father to make sure they have the values, that they understand the will of God. I didn't have a choice. 6 years old, I'm up here leading song service. 6 years old. I didn't even know the words. I'm just leading song service. Didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice. And I didn't understand it. I had no clue what was going on. I didn't know clue of what was being built. You have to be their biggest fan. I give the illustration to my kids that their parents sitting in the stands and they trust their parents and they get beat on the play. And their parents is like, yes, yes, my son got beat. Oh, he ran by him. He made him look bad. Yes, my son looked bad on TV. Oh, I love it. Now, how stupid does that sound? Right? That sound plumb stupid. But the illustrations of the kids are, listen to your parents, because trust me, when you get beat and you get beat on the play, it's tight on them in the stands. I'll never forget, Jalen was catching the punt, and he dropped it. Lord Jesus, me and his mama, I'm talking about, we were just like, no! And every time he get back there, his mama would look at me and I look at her and we would go, Lord Jesus, please Jesus. Because we're rooting for our kids. We're the biggest cheerleaders of our kids. How can you have a kid and not be a cheerleader of your kid? You know, one thing about God, he's always with us. Even when we're a hot mess, he's always with us. No matter what goes on in our life, good or bad, God is always with us. I can always turn to God. Okay, devil, I know I've been speaking on obedience, and you've been doing your thing. My son just graduated from college. And I'm very happy about that. Set the right example. A wise man once told me, if you can't say amen, say ouch. Y'all get that as y'all leave home, leave the church building. Setting the right examples. Again, church, I'm going to use my grandfather and my father as an illustration. Were they perfect? No. Not at all. There's only one person on earth that's a perfect 10, a perfect 100%, and that's Christ Jesus. Amen. But, or however, my grandfather and father whether it's encouraging or putting that pad on me. Amen, church. That's the next one coming. Putting that pad on me. There was always a godly tone to everything they did. I'm going to say that again. Lord Jesus, that's good. That was the Holy Spirit, church, because that wasn't in the notes. A godly tone. Everything they did had a godly tone. How can a man be spanking me and it's a godly tone? Amen. I'll never forget 12 years old and I got one so bad. I don't even know what I did. And my dad, I ain't gonna lie to you, sir. I told him, that's it. That's it. You're not touching me ever again. And he looked at me, 6'3", 6'4", size 14 shoe. He looked at me and he said, now what did you say? And I said, that's it. That's it. Nope. You're done. You're done with this one. Amen. You don't have to worry about me coming to you and I did something I'm not supposed to do. I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision that I was going to be obedient to his household. And I'm talking about when I say I did something, I got in trouble in school for talking or something like that. I mean, I wasn't really a bad kid. But at the end of the day, I had made a decision that I was going to follow my dad's lead. He wore a suit, I wore a suit. He go to the football game, I'm at the football game. He preach at church, I'm preaching at church. He's singing at church, I'm singing at church. He washing his car, I'm washing my car. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to remix it a little bit, though. And most people know the remix is usually better. No, y'all laughing. That was for them. Amen. It should be better. Why? Because I didn't have to go through the trials and the tribulations. There's three ways of learning. Reading. Somebody teaching you. Or going through trials and tribulations. I didn't have to go through the trials and tribulations. Because I followed him. I didn't have to worry about it. He's teaching me situational living
And I had no clue. And to be honest with you, giving my dad the credit, which he deserves, but that mama bear was just as important. Amen. See, my mama bear was really another daddy, really. Amen. Amen. Don't let it get to him. Amen. Because if it goes through her and gets to him, Lord Jesus. Boy, we, This is my favorite one, and most men, we struggle with this. Loving without a limit. And think about this. The greatest example for God is the love he has for us, and there's no budget. Amen, church. There's no budget. His love for us is it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. So how should our love be for our kids? Cole had to get disciplined this morning, right? Why? Because your love for Cole. You have to have love when you discipline. I thought that was next. It might be the next one. I can't wait to get to that one. But our love for our kids. As a man, is it hard to say I love you? Our kids need to hear that. Hey, I love you. I love you. Because when you tell them that, it reassures the love that you have for them. And as a child of God, all I can hear is the Holy Spirit keep on telling me over and over and over and over again when I'm going through trials and tribulations is, hey, God loves you. He loves you. Hey, he's in love with you. And what that does is it renew my mind. Don't shortchange your kids by not telling them that you love them. Don't shortchange them.
Okay, this is the one I want to get on right here.
Is that it?
Put them in the corner and let them sit there for 5 minutes.
Let little Timmy go in the corner, put his nose in the corner, and sit there. And you wonder why the percentages are what they are with single parent moms trying to be the leader of the house. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with that. Like I said, my mom, alpha woman. But, or however, that child did not come in this world by himself. Amen. He did not come in this world by himself. When I retired from the league, I think I told you guys this. The first person I called was my dad. And I thanked him. Because it was the mindset or the mind frame that he built that allowed me to be at that level. When we discipline our kids, we're building our kids. So watch this. Okay, let me tell you the difference in discipline. All right? You have a 2-year-old baby. And 2-year-old baby's drinking this bottle. But you didn't put the lid on it tight enough. And then the milk just comes flowing down. Now you want to discipline the baby. See, you can't discipline the baby when you didn't put the baby in the best situation. Amen, sir. Don't discipline a kid if you're not putting him in the right situation. However, but if you are putting him in the right situation, we have to find out what's the best way to get the best out of them. I like to use my guys that I coach because I deal with some every day. My two best players, I can't rebuke them in team meetings or the position meetings or they'll shut down. My two best players, if I call them out in front of a group of people, they're going to shut down. So what do I have to do? I have to bring them into my office and rebuke them one-on-one to get the best result. So what I'm saying is, in a discipline situation for your youngsters, find out what's the best way. So that means I can't be a lazy parent. I can't be a lazy dad. I can't be hustling backwards as a dad. When you are a child of God, you are always scheming. Amen. And the reason why you're always scheming is because of John 10:10. The devil is always going to be around. I keep on saying this. I don't know if we're really feeling what I mean by this. The devil is a bad boy. The devil does a great job at what he does. Any boxing fans in here? For 5 years, they've been trying to make this fight between Errol Spencer and Bud Crawford. For 5 years. Millions of dollars on the line. And can't come to an agreement. Both guys are A-side fighters. With an A-side fighter, this guy's up here. This guy's up here. They're both qualified to be the lead of the card. The devil is an A-side fighter. Amen, church. And we can't disrespect our opponent. We can't disrespect him. Lord. There he goes. He going to do something this way. I know he's going to. I'm going to rebuke Satan right now. Because I know he's coming. Don't be a Christian and surprised. Because now you can't have a culture. If you're surprised, you're not going to have a great culture for your family. For your kids. You can't be surprised. Family provider. See, everybody, when they say provider, what's the first thing we think about? Money, right? What about mentally, emotionally, spiritually? Amen. See, because if you're doing all them things, the money gonna take care of itself. Amen, church. But if you're on top of it emotionally, what does my son need right now? Was ready to go for this season. Had a bad accident. We're not going to mope around the house. We're not going to cry. Because we expect situations where the devil takes his role. Now, as a father, I tell my son, hey, don't put your head down. Let's go. We got to maneuver. We got to find another way. Hey, you got to get healthy. Then we got to put another plan in place. Culture. And you know, I talk about it. Y'all hear me say this term all the time. Culture overrides scheme. It really does. It really does. If you have a strong culture, things are going to happen, but you're going to be in the best shape on the things when they happen. He's not put his head down. Why me, Lord? Oh, I can't. What happened? I mean, I can't believe this. You're either sensitive or you're too insensitive. You can't be both. You can't be both, church. My last point. When it comes to developing your culture, for your children, as a father, you have to nurture it. You have to nurture the culture. You know, this over here didn't work. Okay, we're going to try this over here. Well, this over here didn't work, so we're going to adjust this over here. I got to be on top of it as a parent. The worst thing is be a lazy dad. Amen. Because that kid did not want to what? Oh, you know what? Forget that. What about if God was lazy? What about if God was hustling backwards? Where would we be at as Christians if God was lazy? Oh, you know what? I'll give you another one. What about if Jesus was lazy? What about if Jesus was double-minded? Do you think he'd have went up to the cross? No. I mean, we talk about Jesus, but think about like what he had to go through. I mean, people was filling him out. They didn't believe him. You know, you had people thinking and always saying things about them, and you're not really who you say you are, and all this thing. And all Jesus wanted to do was love the people. All he wanted to do was love the people. Church, if we're going to get the world back together, we got to teach on how to be a father. And I'm not pinpointing people in here. I'm talking about around the world. Because what happens is, when no one is setting an edge, anything can fall. Amen, church. I'm seeing kids that are 17, 18, 19 years old that's coming to me, and things that they do and say, it's tough. And I'm trying to mentor these guys. And I'm going to tell you, you guys help me, because what I do is, what I talk about the whole season, I preach to you all. So now I am mentally prepared for my task. Because if I don't mentor to these guys, it's not going to happen for them. We grew up. We were blessed. And what I'm trying to do is be a blessing to these guys. So I'm asking you guys to continue to be great fathers. Don't be afraid of changing things. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Make the adjustment. But as long as God is in the wheel, that's all that matters. Because God's going to lead you. He has never failed me. He has never failed me. Now, did I want it my way? Yeah. Sometimes I went my way. I didn't get it. I might have cried a little bit, pouted a little bit. But at the end of the day, Brother Ambrose, it's his will, not mine. It's his will. Church, if you need any prayers at this time, Don't feel embarrassed to come up here and have the saints pray for you. I'm going to be honest. I don't like everybody praying for me. I want certain people praying for me. And if I'm here and I got the opportunity to have the body of Christ pray for me, I'm going to take advantage of that. But you know what we do? We let the devil, at this time of church service, talk to us and say, you know, you don't need to go up there. You'll be all right, man. I mean, you can just sit back here and just pray. Just pray right now, your T-cell. And that goes back to John 10 and 10. We're in war, a spiritual war, with a guy that knows how to punch. And the sad thing is, sometimes we don't know that the fight is fixed. And the victory is already ours. Amen. So, our invitational song. If you need a prayer for the righteous, if you want to put on the body of Christ, this is the time. This is the time. I thank you for allowing me to bring forth God's word this morning. Because I really want to share what my father and grandfather did for me to all of you guys. Because I had nothing to do with what they had to do that for me. Amen, church. Thank you.